Well, to start off the day, I found a new drink I have never had from one of the machines. It's not a Fancy Pants Gassada, which I guess I didn't get out of a machine. I got from the Best Convenience System, aka Best Convenience Store Ever in Fukuoka. So that one is the Fancy Pants drink. This is kind of the opposite. It was one of the machines that's like, only 100 yen, with a crazy cartoon character on the side going, one coin? What the fuck? Things don't cost that cheaply anymore. Nothing. And most of the things in it were, in fact, 100 yen. There were a couple of things that were 120, but most of them were 100. So this is the other end of the spectrum. These are like such cheap items that they're unusual, that you don't see them that often. So this one, the brand is Star Vending. Oh, I get it. Like Star Vending, you know, like a vending machine. Star Brand Vending. But yeah, that says Starve Ending. That's creepy. That sounds like a straight to streaming horror movie. Starve Ending. But it's a brown sugar latte. And I mean, that just sounds pretty fucking delightful. It looks like root beer, but I've heard they don't like root beer in Japan. As that's one of those things, like it never occurred to me, because I like root beer. I think it might be my favorite soda. A soda pop flavor of choice. But then I heard, or it's like YouTube videos were floating around where they would get people from Asian countries to try root beer. And they were grossed out. They're like, you know, it's like when I eat natto or something. They're like, it tastes like medicine. What the hell is this? And then with that perspective, then next time I tried root beer, I was like, oh, it does taste a little weird. What's up with that? I never noticed. So anyway, this is not going to be root beer flavor is the point. Let's try it. Brown sugar latte. By Star Vending. Oh yeah, so I bought this on the way back to the Airbnb yesterday, but I was trying to not have to go to the bathroom a bunch, so I didn't want to drink it. So yeah, this has been in my pocket since yesterday. So it was warm when I got it, now it is not. Ooh. I mean, that's good, but man, that is sweet. But I mean, I don't hate that, because, you know, I'm always complaining about the sweet coffees. But when you get brown sugar latte, that's the point. You know, it's what you're here for. So yeah, it's a little sweeter even than normal. And there's a nice aftertaste that's almost like a very light fudge kind of taste. That's not bad. It was a coin well spent, Star Vending. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, there's a lot of beer vending machines in this neighborhood, by the way, since that was one of these, like, very rare things. I've been seeing them all over the place. Here, there's, like, two. One of them has cans, and one of them has bottles. And they do seem to have the thing that checks your ID. This one does not. This one is, like, really old. But whatever. Certainly don't need to start my day with booze, but yeah, there's a lot in this neighborhood. And yeah, I say this is to start my day, the brown sugar latte, but it's like 12:30. I was trying to experiment a bit with this Airbnb, try to game the system, but I'm afraid there's no gaming to be done. So the person underneath me is the prime snorer, but the person across from me at the top, he also snores quite a bit too. Old Daniel from Vancouver is the only one who doesn't snore. It would be a weird irony if it turns out I've developed a big snoring problem and I didn't realize, because my dad did snore a lot. But I discovered that there's something double weird going on in the bunk beneath me, because it's two people. And they came in really late, like 12:30. I got in late as heck, and they got in even later than me. And then by 4 a.m. an alarm went off, and one of the people, this was definitely a skinny dude, the snorer, I caught a glimpse of the super snorer. I don't know if it's a dude or a woman, but they're the bigger of the two. But the skinny guy, he snores too. Like, they both snore, but his is like normal snoring. It'd be fine. Anyway, at 4 a.m. this guy got up, and I'd been putting off peeing all night. And it's like, okay, I gotta pee before I go to bed. So I ended up crossing paths with this guy at 4:30 in the morning, whatever. And yeah, he was like getting dressed in like business casual clothes. So it's just really strange. I can't quite figure out what's going on there. Did they come in really late at night so nobody would notice that there's two people in the bunk? I mean, I certainly wouldn't tattle on them. I don't give an F, but I don't know, maybe somebody would. It is a seriously cheap way to live. It's like $11 a person if you can do that. But then, yeah, this guy got up and out both days. I think it was 6 a.m. the first day, but it was like 4 a.m. he got up yesterday. So how did he even have time to sleep? He slept for like 4 hours last night. It's fucking weird. And the clothes seem to suggest that he has a job, or he's looking for a job at least. And the other person who's with him, who knows? Who knows what's going on? Another alcohol vending machine. But wait, I think this one does have some kind of a scanner. I don't know. How confusing. Oh, this one, though, was in front of an alcohol store. Maybe they all are. Maybe this is an alcohol neighborhood. My Airbnb is above a sake place. Sake and fancy mushrooms. But anyway, I haven't really gone on a proper bender of just staying up all night since I've been in Japan. So I figure, why not? A man's got to destroy his sleep schedule at least once, right? So that's what I was doing. Like, I was just like, can I just stay up through the snoring? And like, if that guy did take off early, like he did the first day, then theoretically, I guess I could go to sleep after that. But then that's when I realized there were two people and one of them left and the prime snorer did not. Oh, here's the Family Mart I went to when it was raining. How nice. And yesterday, getting up late really kind of just left the whole Airbnb to me. I just sort of had it to myself, could just take a shower and chill out and whatever. Just not the case today. I don't know why. Old Daniel from Vancouver is up and at him like a responsible tourist guy or whatever the fuck he's doing here. But mini snorer across from me, he was just hanging out, snoring away at like, you know, 11 o'clock in the morning. Prime snorer was underneath me, but at least awake, so not actively snoring. But yeah, I don't know. It's just like, phew. Oh, and the other thing is, I just woke up at like 10 in the morning anyway, even though I went to bed at like 5 a.m. And it's like, I hope this doesn't happen, but I do always seem to wake up at about the same time, no matter what. And I was like, no, you can't do this. Go back to sleep. But then I woke up again at 10:30. So it's like, okay. I guess I got to get up. But I feel pretty good right now, and I got a few hours of sun. That'll really be the main difference, I guess. Instead of stretching on into the night, I mean, who knows what'll happen? I guess that's what I'm learning, is that it doesn't matter. There's no way I can maneuver around this or, like, figure out the schedule of what other people are doing and, you know, find a time without the snores. There's literally snores happening as I left. There's snores from somebody all the time at any potential time of day, so it just really doesn't matter. It's like, whatever. Just try to catch your Z's when you can. Yeah, I don't know. I'm surprised I don't feel that bad now. I assume it's going to hit me later because I really only slept for like 4 hours. But I guess that's what that other guy did. And he's out there in his business casual hitting the streets. So anyway, my plan is, because yesterday I kind of finished off the day by heading across the bridge, across the Sumida River, to the Asakusa side. And I really liked that view. That's the classic view of the sky tree that I always remembered. I like it a lot better than from this side, where it's just a landlocked giant tower. It didn't feel the same. And standing under it made me legitimately queasy. It just was like, whoa. But being on the other side of the river, it's just gorgeous. The lights reflecting off the river. There's all these lights on the bridges, lights on the boats, lights all over. It's just amazing. And then I went to Sensoji, which is like a really big, beautiful temple that's got its own symbol on Google Maps. One of those dealies. Pretty famous. And back in 2019, when I did my epic pilgrimage, where I just saw the sky tree on the horizon and didn't know what it was and just walked for hours and hours till I got there, I walked through Sensoji by accident. It was just like, well, this adds to the adventure. How beautiful is this? So I went to check it out last night, and it is goddamn beautiful. Just all lit up and just amazing looking. All these old school temples. But there's also a big row of, there's like a shopping street there that was half open, or like a crisscross of shopping streets. But specifically, there's a row of stalls right by the temple that I guess I've seen YouTubers go by. I think they just sell food and stuff. But they were all shuttered at night. So I was thinking, why not just do the reverse trip? Instead of walking from Sensoji south down Sumida across the bridge into my Airbnb, which is just south of the Sky Tree, now I'm going the other way. I'm walking west from the Airbnb. I'm going to cross over the Sumida and then just walk up the Sumida River in the daytime and go check out Sensoji Temple when stuff's open and check that out because it's relatively close. It's guaranteed beautiful. Not the world's biggest adventure, but given that I stayed up till 5 in the morning for no fucking good reason, seems like a good plan. Oh, and I'm walking past the Museum of Contemporary Art Tokyo, which I'm not going to go in. I did briefly consider, my last day in Fukuoka when it was raining, there was the big Kyushu National Museum there. And even though I'm just not a museum guy, it sort of washes over me a bit. My mind glazes over a little. It is this big, enormous, crazy building that you can see from everywhere, and it's kind of cool. So I did look into it, but it's like, man, it's like complicated. It's like three different sections, and each one, this one costs $3, this one costs $2. You can get a ticket for all three for $10. Again, my basic ignorant brain where I'm like, I'm not going to spend $10 for somewhere I don't even really want to go just because the outside of the building is cool and it's raining. But that's where I double appreciate that museum in Chiba. Not only was it really cool, very small and digestible and just interesting because it was about the ancient people of the Chiba clan, but it was goddamn free. I would have paid $2 for that bitch. Would have been worth it. But yeah, this Museum of Contemporary Art, this is no fooling. This thing is fucking huge. And I can't imagine there's anything in there I give a shit about. I don't know why I keep bringing up museums, just so I don't like museums. Who cares? There's nothing wrong with that. I don't have to keep fucking harping on it. I did look up Disney, though, just in case. What about the idea of just walking around Disney for no fucking reason? And it's like $100. It's actually not that bad. But I don't know that you can actually just roll up to the door and buy a ticket like that. I think it's like you gotta buy a ticket like a year in advance type of shit. All right, I'm not exactly sure where I can cross the Sumida on foot. So that's the next step, as well as probably a backup coffee to wash down this coffee. But I think I'm gonna try to find a 7-Eleven because I did find another one later in the day that had that barbecued mackerel that I found last episode. But I couldn't eat two of them. I was not ready to eat again yet. But maybe that's a thing. Maybe it's a time of year thing. Maybe it's a region thing. I don't know. Man, though, I am glad that my body wouldn't let me sleep in because it is fucking perfect out. Yet another perfect day. Clear skies, perfectly beautiful blue skies with little teeny bits of clouds. I brought an extra layer today because yesterday it got so cold when the sun went down. But right now it's got to be like 15 degrees or 16 degrees. It's nice and warm and just beautiful and perfect. I kind of thought, you know, this was the thing is I was amazed when I first got to Japan how good the weather was for fall. And then I went down to Fukuoka and if anything, it just got better because I was going south. But I thought this could be the snapback. What about coming back up north to Tokyo? You know, not up north really, back to middle to Tokyo. Is this where the weather's gonna suddenly be bad? And hell no, it isn't. It's fucking perfect. Holy mackerel, they had one of the mackerels. They only had one. I didn't record myself eating it. I spared you that, but let me describe it to you. Because I mentioned this a bit last episode, but it's just so good. It's barbecued mackerel. It's like this little square thing. Costs about $4, a little over $4. Premium item by 7-Eleven standards. It's like a little square, like just a little plastic, like a bread pan. Imagine that. Imagine that. And it's mackerel, soy, and ginger. So it turns out the ginger, it's actually in, there's like a bed of rice, and then they've put ginger in the middle of the rice. Because I was noticing, nice little ginger taste. I didn't know where the ginger was, though, but that's where it is. Then it's this barbecued mackerel on top with the skin on it. which I used to get Alaska rolls in Vancouver, which was salmon, barbecued salmon skin. And I forgot how good barbecued fish skin is until that izakaya I was in Chiba. That was a tuna, a whole tuna head, and it had some barbecued skin, and it was very delicious. And then I guess the soy sauce is whatever the sauce was on top of this barbecued mackerel. You know, nothing too fancy pants, maybe literally just soy sauce. And then it's cut into four pieces and you eat it with chopsticks and fuck, it was good. And yeah, they only had one. Fucking so awesome. I don't know if it is like, you know, they've obviously hit all of a sudden. I assume it's not a neighborhood thing. It must be a time of year thing or something. But that's kind of interesting because Japan was always famous to me through the internet before I'd ever come here. One of the things about it was that supposedly the products change all the time, you know, the chocolate bars and the candies and stuff, and if you have something you like, don't get used to it because it goes away. And that is true more so than North America, but it's not as true as I thought it was. Crunky's still here, you know. Most of the same stuff that I had 4 years ago is still here. There's just little things missing here and there. But it's interesting that this is that similar phenomenon, but it's not with candy. It's fucking barbecued fish, but it's so good. And they also had another thing I'd never seen before. It was just a salmon onigiri, but it was coated on one side in sesame seeds. And I thought, oh, this will be delightful because I love me a bagel. I like sesame seeds. But it was kind of a weird mix and it was just kind of dry. And I didn't love it. So that was a less successful experiment. It was okay, but I'm not going to be jonesing for any more sesame onigiri. And then I just got a nice green tea to go with it. Because it seems like this type of food, it's like real food. You shouldn't eat sugar with that. It should just be bitter and healthy-ish. However, that being said, I noticed there's a daily Yamazaki up here, and I haven't been to one of those in ages since Chiba. I remember about daily Yamazakis that had tons of bread stuff. So I'm going to go see. Let's go see what they got in there. Maybe I can get a bread dessert. Bread-based dessert. I certainly don't need a dessert, but just when I saw daily Yamazaki, it's like, yeah, they're not as common as I thought they were. I should get on in there while I can. All right, well, that worked out pretty well, although this is a piggish level of stuff, because, yeah, the mackerel by itself is enough. It's, like, quite a large thing. It's more than enough to fill me up, and I had an onigiri on top of it. But they had an honest-to-God bakery going on in this daily Yamazaki. The other one I was at is like part of an office building or something, so it had a lot of bread stuff, but it didn't have a bakery. But yeah, I guess I was right. Daily Yamazaki is, in fact, a bread place. And it was a lot of savory stuff, like curry bread. I don't know if curry bread is really a thing outside of Japan, but it's just like, it's just bread with like breaded crumb stuff on the outside and just like light curry paste type stuff inside. So it's just kind of a curry-ish bread, a not overpoweringly curry-tasting bread thing. And it's pretty good, and they had ham and cheese, and they had all kinds of stuff that if I hadn't already eaten, I would have got. So they didn't have a ton of dessert breads right now, but they had this one that it's like just butter. They said it was new to them, but it's like a sugar-coated bun with salted butter taste inside. And they sell these at Lawson's, and they're very fucking delicious. But this one is actually made right there, so it's gonna be even more delicious. And then I got some kind of a sugar loaf thing, I don't know what that is. Now that I've started looking for Tully's stuff, there's actually a lot of Tully's products pretty much everywhere. They're not hard to find. It's just that Kasada is somehow just not in the rotation. It's just a little too boutique-y. But there's so many other Tully things. There's like a mountain of them. So I got Tully's less sweet, smooth latte. And I'm like, well, that sounds up my alley. That should be pretty dang good. But yeah, I'm going to give up on the Gasada because it's just too hard to find. It's just way evident now that it's not going to turn up. If I do see one somewhere, it'll be a nice surprise. But I do not expect it to. However, now that I know it's a thing, because it's just, you know, black coffee mixed with carbonated soda water, and it's shockingly good, rather than try to find the actual Tully's Gasada cans, I'm just going to tuck away just that I know this is a drink now. Because, like, my friend Mike in Toronto, he's got a cool, fancy coffee machine, and I've been out drinking with him enough to know that he prefers soda to tonic, gin and soda, rather than a gin and tonic. So next time I go visit him, the likelihood that he will have the ingredients required to make high quality coffee and mix it with soda is extremely high. So fuck it, that's my Gasada future, is that I'll just make it someday in the future, now that I know it's a thing. But yeah, I was like, I don't know, I could, like, if you Google it, you can find pictures of this fucking thing. You can order it from Tully's if I had an address. And I was like, I guess I could post the picture to that Japan Reddit. They are very helpful, but just be like, I only found this in one store in Fukuoka. Does anyone know in Tokyo where you can buy this stuff? But do I care that much to go get involved with Reddit? No. No, I don't. I'll ask Reddit about, like, how does 90-day visas work. I'm not going to ask him, where can I find Gasada? No one's going to know anyway. It's too fucking obscure and stupid. But from the sounds of it, the recipe ain't no thing. It's just 50-50. Chill your coffee, mix it with the soda water, profit. But alright, I'm walking toward a nice little park that then theoretically will lead me to a bridge to cross to the other side of the Sumida River. So I'm gonna eat this fucking stuff. Yeah, geez, even here, I'm just like walking past a machine. It's got Tully's Barista's Black, Cafe Ole, Barista's Blend, and Black Premium Beans, and Barista's Espresso, and Barista's Cappuccino. Jesus, you know? There's like a lot of Tully stuff. I gotta assume the Gasada's a little awkward because I gotta assume that drink is only meant to be cold. I don't think you wanna heat up your soda water. So maybe that's part of it. It's also just an awkward time of year. But yeah, Tully's is actually a lot more available than I thought. Just not the one thing. But you know, I've said before on this here podcast that like it's good to have easy goals, easily attainable goals, and then you feel excited and happy about your day when you attain them. But I'm sadly moving Tully's Gasada to unattainable goal. That is, that's the one that's probably not gonna happen. Even that though, how stupid. I can't find this one drink that I want. I'm not exactly talking about like, oh, I just don't know if I will be able to hike to both poles by myself. You know, I don't know if I will be able to swim to the Mariana Trench with a fucking knife in my mouth. It's like, yeah, no, like just this one fucking kind of coffee that it's a little bit hard to find. What the heck? All right, first off, I ate all that dessert stuff and it was delicious. Absurdly gluttonous. It's way too much. I should have got one thing and not two things, but yeah, man, these salted butter buns, be they freshly baked or even just the ones in the package from Lawson's, it's just really good. I recommend them highly. But yeah, this is a weird little like what the fuck moment I just had. Though now that I think about it, I had all the information to have been able to know this, but I didn't know this. Is my plan was to walk up the Sumida. I've walked across it, and I'm like, okay, I'll walk up to Sensoji. It's not exactly close, though. It's a little bit of a hike. So I was just glancing at the map and like, yeah, so what else is around here? And it's like, wait a minute. Akihabara, which is the big famous anime, video game, pop culture, super duper neighborhood, that I was like, yeah, maybe I'll go there, maybe I won't, you know? Because it was cool to see once, but I'm not going to buy anything or whatever. And it doesn't seem like the kind of thing you would just wander to by accident. But I'm looking at the map and I'm like, it's right there. What the heck? Like, Sensoji is actually kind of a hike. A little bit of a ways to get up there. Akihabara's way closer. And then I was piecing things together in my mind. And I was like, all right, when I did walk to the Sky Tree in 2019 from Akihabara, the end of the journey was I passed by Ueno, and I was like, okay, Ueno Station, I've been here before. And then I passed by Sensoji, and then I got to the Sumida River and got the view of the Sky Tree. Now, if I take separate information where from another little thing I did where I was just exploring around Ueno, And there wasn't a ton going on in Ueno necessarily. But as I moseyed, I was like, wait a second. I recognize this Family Mart. I was at this Family Mart when I visited Akihabara. This Family Mart is in between Akihabara and Ueno. Ueno's next door to Akihabara. Like, just stuff that I didn't really know. I just went to each place individually, got off its, you know, its own specific train. So I didn't realize how close they were to each other, how easily they pieced together. But if I had put these two disparate bits of information together, I know Ueno is relatively close to Sensoji. I know Ueno's close to Akihabara. It like makes a square, basically. From Sensoji to Ueno to Akihabara to where I'm standing right now. And it's like, holy crap. Well, new plan. You know, instead of just going back to the temple I was just at yesterday to now see it in the daytime, fuck it, let's go to Akihabara. I mean, I don't think I'll do much there but walk around, but it is kind of one of those premium neighborhoods. It's one of those neighborhoods, Electric Town it stands for. It's so famous that I knew it before. I mean, I wonder which neighborhoods. I guess I'd heard of Shibuya and Shinjuku, but I had no sense of what was different about them. And I heard of Akihabara. Probably is the first neighborhood I ever heard of in Tokyo, because all the video game magazines and stuff back in the day, they'd fly to Japan for the Tokyo Game Show, and they'd always talk about like, oh, did you go to Akihabara? Oh yeah, I did, and I got this, this, and this. It's kind of the original famous to North American nerds neighborhood. So it was very cool to go initially, but it was in 2019. Really crowded, really, really crowded. And I already had seen like the Sega building in Ikebukuro. Basically, Ikebukuro is like the smaller version of Akihabara and the smaller version of many places. And I kind of prefer that. So yeah, Akihabara's in this middle zone that it is sweet. You definitely gotta go there if you visit Japan. You don't necessarily have to go twice. Or in this case, this will probably be my third or fourth time. But it's right there. When it comes down to walk to the temple you went to yesterday, or Akihabara, Akihabara, baby! So, that's where I'm going. Man, I just happened to be walking past a map. So it looks like, if I'm reading this right, I'm leaving Chuo City, passing past Chiyoda City, over to Taito City? Man, there are a lot of cities within Tokyo. Man, that's a lot. Wait, Chuo. There's Chuo and Taito on my little Google Maps. What the hell was that other one? Chiyoda. What the hell is that? Oh, there it is. So that's where the Emperor's Palace is. Okay. All right. Yeah, technically I am cutting through all these different places. But yeah, I'm like halfway there, and I just wanted to mention that it feels really good to walk through Tokyo. Tokyo is a good city to walk through. This side of the Sumida is way different feeling. The other side was very residential feeling, where this is definitely big time Tokyo, you know, tons of big buildings and stuff everywhere. But it's very nice. It's just a comfortable place to walk through. And I think it could be because it's so big. Because Tokyo is this mega city, it's weirdly relaxed too. I mean, there's certain neighborhoods you can go to that get really slammed and really crazy. I mean, Shibuya, Shinjuku, basically. I guess we'll see. We'll see how Akihabara is. But just this average neighborhood that I'm walking through, it's still like Tokyo. You're definitely in Tokyo. It's all the Tokyo stuff. But it doesn't feel aggressive, you know? It doesn't feel packed in. It's like, yeah, we got lots of city. We got more city where this came from, so we can just kind of, in a weirdly relaxed way, just spread the city out in front of you. Because I was thinking, just compared to Fukuoka, I really like the outskirt parts of Fukuoka and how easy it is to get to the mountains, and like there's so many hikes and so many parks and so much access to nature. But the center part of Fukuoka is not my favorite because, I mean, it's a big time city. It's got all the stuff. Like you pop your head out there, you jump out of the train and you're like, whoa, there's all the lights, there's all the buildings, there's all the crazy stuff. I'm in Japan. But it's a very small area that really quickly gives way to quietness again. So that one specific part is just too much. It's just, it insists upon itself, you know? It's just like, here it is, here's the big city part, blah! Hey, we got all the big city stuff, we're just as good as all these other cities, here's all the stuff! And it's like, Jesus, fucking calm down, Fukuoka, relax a little bit, maybe, you know? Where, yeah, Tokyo, ironically, feels relaxed. It's got its high pressure points, but just these little normal parts like this, it's like, this is fucking great. I could walk through this all day. And in fact, I will, you know? Then of course, if you do want to get to the nature stuff, it's a lot harder. You got to go way, way farther. So I mean, on balance, if I had to pick one city or the other to live in forever, I would probably pick Fukuoka because I like the mountains and the hiking more than the city. But if I had to pick just the city part, either you can live in the city part of Tokyo or the city part of Fukuoka, I would pick Tokyo, ironically, because it's calmer. Because being bigger makes it more relaxed, which is just such a strange thing, but that's definitely how it feels. Well, Akihabara, I mean, it's not really necessarily all that big, the parts that are like the anime video game parts, but definitely confusing. I definitely got lost here before, and I got turned around here again. Not the worst thing, though, because there is this part where you walk across a little bridge, across a canal, and there's a washroom. And I went there by accident. I'm like, oh, good, that's fine, though. Anytime you find a washroom is not a bad time. And I guess now that I'm here, I'm not really sure why I'm here. Like I was saying the first time, it's kind of a spectacle. It's kind of a rite of passage for nerds. You gotta go. Then after that, it's like, I guess I don't know for sure. I remember thinking in 2019 that I kind of wish I was into some more current anime. I just had been bouncing off of anime for a long time. So it was like, yeah, it's too bad there's not actually something relatively recent that I could at least keep my eye peeled for. And then in the meantime, I got interested in Iyashike anime, but unfortunately that genre is not popular. So besides some Yuru Camp figures from a gacha machine in Fukuoka, that's about all I've actually found. And I don't know, again, it's like, I guess the search is kind of fun for the sake of searching, but if I found, I don't know, Nananbiori toys or something, I'm not going to buy them. I mean, what am I going to do with them? Just put them in my book bag and add weight for no reason? I guess in some ways I'm just not the target audience for Akihabara. When I go into like the manga shops and stuff, it seems really cool in the theory. It's like, oh man, look at all these comics. Be cool if I could read these. But I mean, I had that thought when I was 17, when there legitimately wasn't that much translated manga. And that's the one time I tried to learn some Japanese. Nowadays, there's plenty of English manga available. And it's cool in theory to read them. But I just need a pill I can eat. And then I will have had read them. Because I ain't got time. I mean, I started reading Initial D in paper, you know, 20 years ago. And then I switched over to digital and I'm still not done. So I think I'll try to find Super Potato, the video game store, just to have a target, just to have something to do. It's only a little after 3, so this place might be cool to see at night. I don't think I've ever been here at night. Wow, it's so weird that there's just the classic, like, people hanging their laundry up on their balcony, just like everywhere, but it's just weird that that's in Akihabara, right across from a train, too. I don't think I would love that location. But I guess if you want to see foreigners every day of your life as you walk around, it's perfect for that. There's a lot of them here. Is this the actual... Holy shit, I think it is. That's the Indian restaurant that I went to with my friend Brad. Because, yeah, it's not too busy, which is nice. It's a Thursday afternoon, for whatever that's worth, in December. Where I remember I met up with my friend Brad here in the middle of the summer. And it was so busy, like I had to just like get to the side, off the like side of the sidewalk, just to get out of the flow of traffic, because you couldn't, like you could not stand, you couldn't stop moving. It was just a flow of people. So it's definitely not like that. This is a pretty comfortable level of crowd. So that's nice, because yeah, then we immediately, we didn't even really hang out in Akihabara. We just immediately went around the corner to an Indian restaurant, and that was it. I just walked by it. Cool. I guess I could shout it out because it was good. Siddique, it's called. S-I-D-D-I-Q-U-E. Yeah, so that makes sense. Because that is the Indian restaurant. Because I'm on the other side of the canal. What is it called? Presumably it's a river. Oh, it's the Kanda. The good old Kanda River. I've met you before, Kanda. So yeah, when I cross back over the Kanda, I'll be back in Akihabara proper. Where the heck is that coming from? I think that was just from a steakhouse I was walking by. But yeah, Super Potato is cool to see all of the old video games. But there's the other Super Potato in Ikebukuro, which is also pretty good. And even just the hard-offs. Just those hard-off stores that I've found sprinkled all around in every city ever in Japan. They have a really good section for retro video games. So even just that, you know, if you just want to see crates and tubs full of cool old, you know, N64 games and whatever, just all games of all eras just kicking around. Super Potato is, again, the famous one, the first one I heard of, but you can find that stuff all over the place. So I'm still going to go. It's kind of cool just to walk through and gander at the past. But it's mainly just a good Target. And here's the Gigo, the Akihabara Gigo. Used to be a Sega building. But yeah, this one, I don't have a, you know, it didn't hit me like the other one. I saw the Ikebukuro one first. This was just the backup Sega building. So I also only have backup disappointment that it's a Gigo now. It's like, yeah, well, whatever, times change. At least it's still essentially the same kind of store. And the other thing I noticed that, geez, Big Apple slots and pachinko. Fuck, look at that shit. It's really big. The other thing I noticed that I think I'm understanding correctly is you've got the DVD stores that sell normal type DVDs, and then they have the porn section somewhere, you know, or the Book Off does that, of course. And you got just the full-on porn stores. There was one I walked by. It was right by the Book Off, actually. After I went up through the Book Off, I'm like, oh, downstairs, porn store. Let me go check that out. They're big into those Tengu things. They're like a masturbation device for dudes, where it's like you just put this thing on your dick and, I don't know, I guess you masturbate with it. I don't know. I've never tried one. I guess it's got like gel in it or something, or it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's cool. Seems like more extra maintenance than I would want to do to jerk off, but hey, to each their own. But then there's these stores that are like DVD stores, and it's of course in the Akihabara style. It's like six floors of DVDs. But I noticed on the sign outside, I didn't actually go in, so I can't say for sure, but I think this is what's going on, is there's like private viewing rooms and showers, and I'm just like, oh, this must be if you're just trapped in your little house and, yeah, I don't know, you're a student or something and your family's always around. The way they have love hotels, or if you want to go spend some time with your significant other. What if you don't have a significant other? What if you just want to get away from your family so you can beat your dick? I think that's what that is. I think it's like, hey, get a private room. Take advantage of our zillions of DVDs. And then after you've masturbated yourself into oblivion, take a shower, because you're probably gross. You don't need to be going home like that. But yeah, I've walked by at least two of those places. And this song is it's a fucking truck going by. A truck blasting pop music. Jeez, yeah, I'm just looking at like I'm waiting for a light. So there's the Gigo building, millions of floors. Next to it, New World Akiba. Media World Akiba, DVD, games, books, but it's again like five or six floors. What's this other place? I don't know. Everything though is like seven floors. So I already went up all seven floors at the Book Off. And I mean, not going up like I gotta climb stairs. It's fucking an escalator. But then I went in the Yodobashi camera for a second, because that's where I found Yuru Camp Gachas before. But I just was immediately tired out as soon as I saw the sign that's like, here's what's on all six floors. And I'm like, ah. That's fine. I don't care. I'm not going up six floors of anything anymore. I did one. I'm done. and it was just a book off. I wasted my my energy. But yeah, this is maybe not the best place to come when you've only had 4 hours of sleep, because every store is the tallest store in the world. And even though there are escalators, I don't know, maybe it's just mentally taxing, but I was like, I don't want to do that anymore. Well, that was pretty easy. I had a much easier time finding it this time than before. One thing too, I guess, important to know about Super Potato, because even once you get there and you see the weird logo of the weird little potato, and it's like, oh, okay, that's the place. But Super Potato is floors 3, 4, and 5 in Akihabara. The first floor, it looks like it's changed now. Now it's selling, phones, I guess? It was like just electrical equipment when I went in, like literally just like, cables and transistors and stuff. And I just kind of wandered in and I was like, this is truly not what I thought Super Potato would be. What's happening here? And then I, figured out like, oh, this is old school electric town. This is what this neighborhood was. It was just where you come to buy fucking diodes and whatevers. But yeah, no, I gotta say, actually, that store is pretty good. I guess I was being a little like, yeah, you know, whatever, I'll just go there because I gotta go somewhere. I think I am just a little bit tireder than I think I am. It's got me a little dowry. Because I was even thinking as I was walking, you know, it's just like, there's so many of these giant 7-floor stores, but they're all kind of the same. You know, it's all just a bunch of anime shit. You know? And I was just kind of thinking, like, is this neighborhood not that good? Is that my hot take, that Akihabara's actually not that good? Gigo's doing a fucking bang-up job, though. There's those Gigo stores fucking everywhere. So, I mean, hey, if Sega's going to drop the ball, at least Gigo, whatever that conglomerate is, wherever it came from, there's a shit ton of them. But yeah, I feel like if you just arrived in Japan and you came straight here, it would be fucking awesome. But once you've been around a bit and you've seen some gacha machines and you've seen some anime stores and you've been to some manga shops and you've been to some video game stores, like, you've seen all this stuff. Here is just more. There's just more of it. I do think Ikebukuro, as a neighborhood, I like Ikebukuro a lot better. But all that being said, Super Potato, man, it's worth going to. It's so good in there. It's so cool. Where the third floor is retro games. And again, yeah, I mean, you can't have the experience twice, but it brought back the memory of the first time I went in there. And just seeing not only the old Nintendo games and stuff, but since I had a Sega Master System, seeing old Sega games and stuff in the Japanese boxes, and it's like, fucking shit, that is awesome. That is just so cool. It's really packed in there, but yeah, it's a really cool experience to see all the old players' guides and just all kinds of shit. And then the fourth floor is slightly more modern stuff, but then the fifth floor, make sure you go all the way to the top, because man, that's good. That's where the arcade machines are. And yeah, they got arcade machines up there, but it's also set up like an old school candy shop that kids would go to after school, where they just sell a bunch of weird little candies and stuff for like 45 yen each, and just all kinds of weird shit. And I guess it's just so you can be nostalgic about your Japanese childhood of like, that's what I used to do. I used to go to the little candy shop and buy the weird miscellaneous candies, and play video games and like, So obviously it's not quite the same for North America, even though a lot of the video games are the same. But I got kind of like an extra taste of what that was like with that manga High Score Girl. And there's an anime too, which of course I never finished. Manga's just better. Manga's a lot better than anime. So I read the manga, I didn't finish the anime. But it's about a kid in the early 90s, and he becomes rivals with this girl in his class for who's the best fighting game. You know, Street Fighter 2 just came out. Who's the best at fighting games, basically? And as they go through school, it like charts the evolution of video games at the same time. And if anything, I kind of wish somebody would do more of a slice of life version of that story. Because High Score Girl is pretty wacky. The guy was like a bizarre horror comics guy before then. I read one of his old comics and it's just like a depressing tale of all these kids getting killed. I'm like, what the fuck is this? But you can feel that in High Score Girl. It's got that style still, even though it's just about video games. But even with all the wackiness, you still get a nice dose of just that basic thing of just going to the store with the oba-san, with the old lady who runs it or whatever, and you spend your pocket money on fucking candy and you play video games, and it's just like really cool that the fifth floor of Super Potato is set up that way. I mean, I guess it was always set up that way, but I didn't appreciate it really before reading High Score Girl. Now I'm like, oh, that's what this is. Now I get what this is, and that's fucking cool. Also, it's no smoking now, where it was technically no smoking in 2019, but they had the window open and people were smoking with the window open, which, I mean, it was kind of cool because that also was nostalgic. My old school memories of arcades from the 1980s were that people weren't smoking in the arcades, but certainly the jean-jacketed teenager that was managing the arcade, or running the place, not managing, who had the quarter dispenser, certainly smelled like cigarettes. So I was like, ah, cigarettes. Nostalgia. No more cigarettes up there. I was gonna buy some of the candies just because they are kind of unusual candies you don't see all over the place, but I just couldn't. After I ate those two buns from Daily Yamazaki, I am just full to the fucking, to my eyeballs in sugar. And they are all just stuff like that. Like, you buy a little thing for like, you know, 50 cents or less or whatever, that's just like a weird little, like, sugar candies and whatever, you know. I did have 400 yen in my pocket and I was like, oh, I should buy a few, but I just don't want to eat them. Just like, ugh. So yeah, I'm going to wander around a little bit more, but definitely, if you're at all a video game person, I rescind my previous tepid level of enthusiasm. You should totally go to Super Potato, and even though there is one in Akihabara, and you can see all that same stuff in book-offs and whatever, and I've heard that outside of Tokyo, all this stuff is cheaper. Anime figures and video games and stuff, it's all a lot cheaper if you go to a city that ain't Tokyo. If you're into that type of thing, keep that in mind. But yeah, no, this Akihabara Super Potato, it's absolutely worth it. Man, it's just a cool little store. Feels good, man. Feels good. Man, the start of that song, I think I got it as I turned on my recorder. The way the bass goes, boom. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-ba. It's exactly like Parappa the Rapper. There's a certain funk styling that is like only Japan enjoys, that only Japan does. So yeah, I gotta say, Akihabara, I think it's safe to say it won me over. The more I walked around, the more I kind of got into the vibe. It's like, yeah, okay, maybe I don't want to go into all the identical seven-floor anime shops, so just don't. And then I went into one of the Gigos, and it's like, crane games. Second floor, crane games. Third floor, crane games. I'm like, okay, maybe I don't want to do that either. Maybe I kind of don't want to do any of the stuff, but who cares? I'll just walk around. And just as you walk around, I don't know, it just seeps in. It seeps into your bones and you just get into the vibe and it's like, oh yeah, this place is actually pretty fucking cool. Like, I noticed, it's like, oh, it's only like an hour till it gets dark. Where, you know, it's like the same situation I was in downtown Fukuoka, where I had 2 hours to wait till it got dark. And I was like, eh, man, I'm not waiting 2 hours. 2 hours is too long. I'm getting out of here. Where I was in the same situation here, I had 2 hours, then I had 1 hour, and then I'm like, yeah, I can eat up an hour. You kidding? Can eat up an hour easy. I'll just walk around for an hour. And now it's almost dark, so I get to see lit up Akihabara. Yeah, this place is actually pretty rad. Even just to walk around, because I guess as I've chronicled, I mean, that is my favorite thing to do. Going in the stores, you know, it's kind of crowded. I'm not going to buy anything. It's kind of like, whatever. But just soaking up the vibe. If a neighborhood has a vibe, that's all I need. That makes me happy. There's a lot of Middle Eastern food here. I'm still not remotely hungry, but that's interesting to know. Yeah, I guess the one thing with walking around is there are a lot of the maid cafe girls handing out stuff. So, I mean, that's kind of like you do have to dip and dive and dodge around all these millions of maid cafe people. And to be honest, I don't really get it. I don't know what the deal is with maid cafe stuff. I know my friend Stefan back in the day went to one, and it was extremely chaste and just, you know, you just kind of pay too much money for a tiramisu and a coffee. So somebody in a maid outfit can, I don't know, just do her little routine, and it's like a British tea service, but the silly anime version of that, I guess. I don't know. But then I get the sense that there are more risque versions of this type of thing, just not here. I got to assume here it really is just like, you know, just for tourists to just do a dumb thing. Where I'm sure I've heard stories about kind of like soft prostitution, where it's like regulars will go to like some kind of bar and do the maid girl thing, but like, oh, I'll pay extra to go do the maid girl thing in the secret back room, and then I'll put my hand on your thigh, and et cetera, et cetera. And next thing you know, and wasn't there even like a problem with like underage prostitution? I could be making all this up. I don't know. This underworld of seediness, but it seems like none of that's the case here. But it's still, it's just weird. It is kind of weird. It's just like, what are you handing me? What is this? What's the deal? If I don't even have the big brave balls to go to Coco Curry, I'm not partaking in maid cafe stuff. I'd be freaked out. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how this works. But kind of along those lines. So there was a great big giant porn store that I found here in 2019. It was the one where I found that one in Fukuoka by the self-defense force, where I was like, oh, this is exactly like that one I went to in Akihabara. Like, it's all set up the same, and all the designs of the interior of the store are the same. So I was like, oh, this must be a chain. And what I mainly remember about that store is my cousin texted me while I was in Japan last time, and he's like, hey, did you find one of those machines where you can buy girls' panties from a vending machine? And I was like, oh man, I forgot all about that. That was another 90s thing. Just this thing you'd hear about. They're like, you know, in Japan, you can buy panties from the vending machine? What the fuck? That supposedly a woman had worn, but then you'd hear like, ah, it's really just, they just spray it with something. I don't know. But I was like, oh dude, I haven't thought about that in 20 years. And I don't know if that ever was a thing. I'm quite sure it was pretty unusual. Not exactly common, and no I have not found that. But then in that one store in Akihabara, they did have that. They did sell the panties out of the vending machine, and I was like, what the fuck? That dumb joke my cousin made about the old-timey fucking practically an urban legend about Japan, it really is true, and here it was. I was like, what the fuck? So as I was walking around soaking up the vibe, I saw a store, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's the store, because it had these panels on the outside that were pictures of Japanese porn actresses, because I think it was like in-store meet and greets, because they had like a date on them. Except now it was just anime stuff, just anime panels of just whatever anime shit. I was like, I'm sure that's the store. So I went and walked in, and it's like, oh yeah, this is the store, and it's not a porn store anymore. So as I was walking around, I'm like, you know, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, this place is Tourist Grand Central. I see all kinds of, like, couples walking around, and I've seen a couple of, like, teenagers walking around with their moms. Like, somehow convinced their mom to take them to Japan. Good on you, kid. It seems like kind of a waste of real estate to have this enormous, like, this store was fucking so big. Like, just crazy big. I don't know if it was the whole block, but almost. And it was, like, three floors. And it's like, yeah, I mean, how many people... If you're just selling porn to locals, basically, they could go a little out of their way. It doesn't really need to be in Akihabara. And I do wonder how much you're selling to the tourists. Because even then, I mean, you can still go to the porn parts of the other stores, you know. They all have their porn parts if you want porn. So having a fully dedicated porn store is like, yeah, that makes sense, you know. Makes sense that it's converted into something else. Then I went to the stairs to the second floor, and it said, 18 only, don't go upstairs unless you're 18. It's like, oh, okay, it's still a porn store. Floor 2 and floor 3 are still full of porn. But I still think that's probably a good move to, you know, make floor 1 a little more standard anime-type junk. And they did not have any panty vending machines anymore. I was one of the last lucky people, I guess, to experience that before lockdown. And now on the other end, no more panty vending machines. What a sad time to be alive. What time is it now? Yeah, it's like 4:45. The sun's going down. I'm glad I hung around. This place is starting to look pretty cool. Just stopped in another little shop that's a retro game shop that's not Super Potato, but similar. And man, I was just thinking how if I had a house, if I had a proper house and a proper job and disposable income that I didn't know what to do with and rooms to fill up. I mean, just seeing old like Sega Genesis games and shit that I used to own, but now the Japanese versions, it's like, yeah, I would buy all this crap. And they had like a little PC Engine, that's the original TurboGrafx-16, that's portable. You can just slide the fucking little game cards right in. Oh, what is this place? Floor 2 retro games. I think I gotta go in there too. But yeah, there's no question I would have a house full of just shit. Just full. And then I suspect it would lead to a midlife crisis of like, why do I have all these things? Why do I think that these objects are a stand-in for love and affection and meaning in my life? Whereas it is, I still have that midlife crisis, but at least it's an empty crisis now. Now it's like the world is, it's like an apocalyptic wasteland, and I wander through it like a ghost. You know, that's the current. But if I'm gonna have a crisis, I'd rather have the empty crisis of nothingness rather than the crisis of just owning mountains of shit from when I was a kid and hoping that it means something. But I would do that. For fucking sure I would do that. Seeing all this stuff, man. And I mean, you buy a few things, just buy a few more. Next thing you know, I have to have a second house like Guillermo del Toro that's all filled with retro games. I would definitely be that guy. But I'm happy that I'm not that guy, you know. Instead, I chose the extreme minimalism. I want to just travel and own nothing life. But I feel it, dude. I sympathize if you're the own all the stuff from when you were a kid guy. I would have Magic the Gathering decks made out of Japanese cards. I'd have so much fucking trash. I'd have so much junk, man. All right, well, I think it all worked out pretty good. It's nighttime now. I get to soak in some Akihabara night. The nighttime vibe is very cool, but I do think I should probably wrap this up now. I'm definitely running out of steam, but I think I got away with this, with staying up till 5 in the morning. This was a good idea. Going to Sensoji would have been kind of cool also, but not, you know, going to help me stay awake. Where if you're running on 4 hours sleep, Akihabara's it's a good plan. It's a good place to come. It'll help keep you going. One thing is a lot of the stores have these little packs of like you just pay for a bundle, you get like a surprise bag, I guess, with just like who knows what could be in it. And I've seen YouTubers open them before from retro game shops and stuff. And it's kind of cool because you get an okay amount of stuff. You know, it's like, hey, I paid whatever, $30 for this and I got $70 worth of crap. It's just that it's stuff you wouldn't have bought yourself, you know? So ultimately, you're still just buying a bunch of shit. But I couldn't help but notice that the porn store and even one of the stores that wasn't a full porn store but just had an upstairs porn store both had those surprise bags. And it's like, oh dude, I want so bad to see what's in that surprise bag. You know, what comes from the porn store surprise bag? I want to know so bad. what the fuck would I do with it? I'd literally just like open it up and go, huh, whoa, and throw it away. Or just, I don't know what I would do. But I wish somebody else would open one of those bad boys. I want to see what they're trying to get rid of. Because I don't know, which way would it go? Porn is such a weird thing because it's kind of like neutral. I had this theory back in the day that one way you could review stuff is it better or worse than porn? You know, like just take a movie or whatever. Because porn is just kind of fundamentally interesting to a male brain, you know? We'll get a certain amount of enjoyment out of porn no matter what it is. But it's probably not going to go too high or sink too low. It's kind of just, it is what it is. It's compelling more than it is like good or bad. So if you watch a movie and you're like, wow, that's way better than porn. I'm glad I spent my time watching this movie. Then it was probably an okay movie. But if you can say like, yeah, I feel like I would have had a better time if I just watched porn, then it's a bad movie. That was a theory I had many years ago, and then I forgot all about it. And then my friend Doug in Vancouver, I hadn't seen him in like 7 years. And then when I saw him again, he brought that up. He's like, you know, that always stuck with me. I always think of that. And I'm like, oh yeah, I do remember saying that. That's not my worst ever theory. So would the surprise bag just automatically be all trash? Or would it be like kind of a good surprise bag? Because on some level, it's like, well, hey, it's a bag full of porn. Like, how bad could it be? But also, how good could it be? But I guess we'll never know because I'm not going to buy one. They're like 40 bucks. And it's not worth it for the gag. Where would I even open it? On the streets? You know, I'm in a little bunk with people. Yeah, there's no good way for that to go. Not to mention that the audio travel podcast is a bit of a weird idea to begin with. The describing porn podcast is the epitome of like, what the fuck are we doing here? However, speaking of porn, I did find a kind of cool store here. I guess there's a couple of them, but this is one thing I didn't find last time at all, is a doujinshi shop, where doujins are fan-made comics, basically. Non-professional manga. And they're mostly porn, but they're not all porn. Like, this place had, the top floor was porn, but the second floor was non-porn, and the porn one had a lot more stuff in it. But it's not automatically porn. And either way, it's like a neat thing, because it's like a cool way to kind of get your foot into the industry. You can kind of get famous by just making these fan comics, and it's like a whole industry, you know? People look forward to at Comiket, I think it's called, the big comic convention here. Like, you gotta get in early and get the doujins that you want and the people that you know and whatever. And I've never seen real doujins before. It's just like, wow, look at that. Just these little, they're smaller. They're almost more like a North American comic book size. And they're kind of expensive, you know, it'll still be like 11 bucks or something. But it's just a neat phenomenon. It's a cool little thing. And I've never seen them in real life before. And on the non-porn floor, I mean, that's even kind of double interesting because a lot of the porn ones you can find online and stuff. People are motivated to scan them and spread them around. But the non-porn ones, it'd be like just a comic book about trains or about fishing or cooking. And it's just like, wow, cool. You know, I don't know, it's cool. Not that mainstream comics don't deal with that stuff. In Japan, they have comics about all those things. But yeah, I've heard many times that like such and such an artist started as a doujin artist. And it's one of those things that's like, there's not exactly, I guess our closest thing nowadays with the internet would be like, I don't know, fucking The Martian or whatever started as a story on a website, that type of thing. But the doujin thing has been well established for many decades. And it's just like a part of the industry. And I don't know, it just seems really cool to me. Especially in a society like Japan where, I'm sure getting in on the ground floor of any of this stuff is very hard to do. Like, to get in with a company to do anything. The stress of being, like, a manga artist and just, like, the nonstop grind and just, blah. But even getting into the point where you can partake of the nonstop grind must just be incredibly hard. So it is cool that you can just say, hey, fuck it, man. Just make your own comic. And if you're good enough, people know who you are. And you can move on from there. All right, well, ultimately, thumbs up. Thumbs up for Akihabara. I started off kind of sluggish. But this place fucking perked me the fuck up. I'm tempted too because there's all these like Turkish and Middle Eastern and whatever shawarma type places around here. I'm like, I don't know, I'm pretty tempted to try one of those dealies, but I just ate so much shit at noon. It's ridiculous. I'm still not hungry. I think it's probably better if I walk back and don't get something to eat till I get back to the Airbnb. Gotta walk off a few more calories. This is I'm not ready yet. My belly's not ready. But yeah, this all turned out all right. I think I literally can't believe I got away with staying up till 5 in the morning. I thought today was going to be such a disaster. I thought it's like, oh no, I've just mortgaged my future. Like today's going to be horrible. But it wasn't. It was great. I can't believe Akihabara was this close. Holy shit. That's such a nice surprise. But anyway, no more staying up till 5 in the morning. I'm just going to have to try to power through the snorers because it didn't work anyway. My idea that I can just somehow maneuver into a bizarre sleep schedule that'll keep people from snoring around me. I learned, unfortunately, there's just random snoring from random corners of my Airbnb at all fucking times of the day and night. So, just gotta put my headphones in, turn on my fucking white noise rain sounds, and crank them the fuck up, and just sleep as much as I can. Which I think is what I'm going to do now. I'm going to start moseying back that way. So thank you for listening. I hope this little journey to Akihabara was entertaining. The one thing I didn't stumble across is me and my friend Brad, we went to that cool Indian restaurant a couple of times. But we also went to a Denny's the first time we were in Akihabara, just as almost like a perverse, like funny thing to do. Like, let's just go to Denny's, take a picture of it and be like, look at this cultural experience I'm having. But then it actually was kind of neat. It's like, oh yeah, a family restaurant in Japan. It's like the whole menu is wildly different. A lot of noodle dishes, you know. I didn't see moons over my hammy anywhere. So I wasn't planning on heading back to Denny's, but I just like, where was it? Is it not here anymore? I feel like I would have stumbled across it by now. And I did not. But of all the things not to find in Akihabara, I think not stumbling across the Denny's is fucking fine. Who gives a shit? Oh man, is it in my built-in Google Maps? Denny's, 400 meters from here. Well, anyway, I'll take your word for it, Denny's. I'm not gonna fucking walk to Denny's to see a Denny's sign. Why the hell would I do that? But all right, tune in next time for more adventures, probably somewhere else. Until then, good fucking bye. Just gotta hop back in at the end to say I saw a guy with a little bag on his back that said in big bold white letters on the black bag, "My tote bag without books is like a body without a soul." And it's like, fucking settle down, man. It's a tote bag. It's nice that it has books in it, but it's, I think if your tote bag doesn't have books in it, I think that's not even 1/1,000th as weighty as a body without a soul. Like, come on, settle down, my dude. Anyway, he'll one day be the emperor of the earth, so watch out for that.